Yes, indeed. Let us get to work here. Welcome once again to Article 5 Live. I'm J.D. Smalis, your host, coming to you from the radio bunker somewhere in the formerly great state of Arizona. Thanks for joining us tonight here on March 14th, 2021. Welcome once again. Thanks. Sorry I was a little bit late. I walked in the door 15 minutes ago, so I barely made it. Coming down from the Northern Command, so thank you for your patience. And once again, welcome. Glad you're here tonight. As we said on the title of the show tonight, leftists are not liberals. I cannot emphasize this enough. If you need any more proof of this, all you have to do is listen to Hillary Clinton in, oh, she said it many times, but 2008. Hillary Clinton, while campaigning for president of the United States, well, she said it many times, so I don't know the year, but, you know, she has said, we're not liberals, we're progressives. Big difference. Well, we that are right of center, that are patriots, that love America, you know, and believe that America has done far more good for the world than it has done bad. We believe that progressiveness is bad, because what progressiveness means is they want to basically eradicate the Constitution as written. This is a quote from Barack Obama, who supposedly is a constitutional law professor. The Constitution is a charter of negative liberties, says what the government can't do to you. Now, when he was relaying this, he was being interviewed on PBS or something like that, and he was relaying that as a negative thing. You understand that the Constitution is indeed a charter of negative liberties. Negative liberties of the government is what he was saying. Hang on a second. I knew something was wrong. I got my right ear in my left and my left ear in my right. So Obama didn't like the fact that the Constitution is meant to limit the power of government. That is not what a liberal objects to. A liberal doesn't like a powerful government. A liberal resents being restricted by the government. The classic liberal statement from the French during the period of the French Revolution is, I disagree with what it is that you say, but will fight to the death to defend your right to say it. That is liberal. Is that what we have? The leftists that are supposedly in charge of the United States of America today? No, they don't believe that at all. They want to shut down all opposition speech to them. If you oppose their position, if you are, you speak out against what they are doing, you are labeled a domestic terrorist. This is what totalitarians do. This is what statists do. This is what leftists do. This is not what liberals do. And don't think I'm sitting here just to defend liberals. But as the great Rush Limbaugh, the late great Rush Limbaugh always used to say, words mean things. But he was wrong about calling leftists liberals. So Rush your big talk show in the sky now. I'm here to kind of clean up your mess. Yeah. He is the one almost solely responsible for us associating liberalism with leftism. We who call ourselves conservatives, most of us are, you know, just regular people. Now, a lot of people have co-opted the term conservative, and I hesitate to even call myself a conservative anymore because of that puts me in association with people who I wish not to be associated with, if you follow what I'm saying. But for the purpose of going over this once again, which I believe is important, I want to make the distinction, you know, we who are right of center, let's say, more correctly than conservative, because I'm not trying to put you in a box, and I don't want to be put in a box, because many of my views are indeed classic liberal views. We'll get into some of that, but back to what I was trying to say, I'm here to clean up kind of, you know, Russia's mess. Liberal leftists are not liberal. They may be progressive. They're in fact fascist in many ways. Modern day leftists are involved in fascism. It's just a fact. So what I want to talk about tonight is why you keep saying this, JD, you know, why is this so important? It's important because liberal concepts are what the Bill of Rights are what the Declaration of Independence is. That is classic liberalism. That is why when you go to college and also you learn about government and the founding of the nation and things that are, you know, publicly and governmentally oriented and those, they call it the liberal arts study because words freaking mean things. So let's not call these leftist totalitarian fascist pigs liberals because, you know, my liberal friends don't like to be associated with the morons that are the useful tools of the globalists that are in charge of things today. So that's why one of the many reasons I think it's important to make that distinction. And also I want to go into some things about, you know, leftism and fascism in particular, because I've had kind of an epiphany on the modern day version of American fascism in which we are tormented with in the present day. It's a fascism that's never quite been like this, because if you look at the fascists of World War II, Benito Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, these guys, these fascists, that was huge authoritarian government in control of industry and industry working hand in hand with government against the interest of the people in many cases, disguising their enterprise as being for the people, of course. But in reality, and also in retrospect, in both cases, we see they were working against their own people with this fascism that they learned from Americans, not maybe not learned, but borrowed some American fascist ideas from the early 20th century to build the fascism of Europe, which led to World War II. It's far more complicated, and I'm oversimplifying things just to make the point. Now, in that case, fascism was government was on top. Government was the boss. And how you doing, Deb? Nice to pop in there. Thanks for the comment. So government was on the top. They were the boss. and industry and corporations were subservient to the government in classic fascism. So my observation is American fascism, in which we are oppressed with today, is the opposite. I'm coining a new term here. I'm going to call it inverted fascism. American fascism of 2021 is what is known as inverted fascism, because it is the corporations that are on top. They are in control of the government. If you think the government that is in Washington, D.C. is in control of this nation, you better wake up. It is corporations. It is big tech, big pharma, big media. These industries and a few corporate and the World Bank and the World Trade Organization and all the globalist enterprises, Bill Gates, George Soros, these are the people in control of the United States government by virtue of the people that are occupying our government. They are known to have worked for the Chinese. They get deals with them on the side. And you know, we're back in the WHO, so we have dictates health-wise by the WHO and CDC, and these people are all in the business of restricting your freedom, the absolute opposite of liberalism, okay? This is why all this terminology is absolutely important. I hope you're following I hope I'm following myself, let alone I hope you follow me. So the thing of it is, this inverted fascism, this is a fascism in which the corporations are the top dog, the governments in which they control are second, and those governments are in the business of doing the corporate's bidding by coming after you and me. And that's what's happening in 2021 in the United States of America, inverted fascism. And these people are not liberal. They're not even progressive. They're totalitarian. You're not, and the difference between authoritarian and totalitarian has been laid out by Mark Levin and Rush Limbaugh. And I'm going to copy their definition of the difference between totalitarianism and authoritarianism, because it's a very good point. In authoritarianism, they want your compliance. If you don't comply, you're going to be subject to punishment, either by fine or by imprisonment or whatever. That's authoritarianism. Totalitarianism is all that and more in this way. Totalitarians are not satisfied with your compliance. If you comply and you don't believe in their mandates for you, they're going to brainwash you one way or another into believing their mandates. This is what they've done with the big reaction hoax that's over a year old, and you know which one I'm talking about. It's a huge psyop. They have convinced people to be scared of the boogeyman. Basically a little bit of a chimerically modified cold virus. We're supposed to be scared to death of this, to the point that you're willing to take an injection of an experimental biological agent. And you're supposed to think that's a good thing. And you know what? About 80% of us do. And I don't know whether our great President Trump believes that or not, But I do know allowing what happened with all this phony ass reaction to the chimeric cold, and it spread worldwide like wildfire, and everybody's clamoring for to be, you know, be in that line to take that jab. It's a sad, sad, sad state of affairs. You know, and President Trump, whether or not he was trying to be Machiavellian in his distribution tactics and figure, and by emphasizing, it was pointed out to me, he always emphasized it should be optional. In other words, the government's not going to make you do it. But who is going to make you do it? The corporations who control the government are going to make you do it. You won't be able to fly. You won't be able to get on public transportation. You can't get in a cab. You can't go to a movie theater. You won't be able to go to a grocery store, because eventually all these corporations are going to say, you don't get the biological agent, you're not doing business with us. But Trump always said, well, it shouldn't be mandated. It should be optional. How optional is it when you can't do anything that you need to do unless you inject an experimental biological change agent that causes your cells to produce gives your cells the recipe to produce a spike protein to put out into your system so that your immune system will have a reaction to that spike protein. But the problem with that is, you know, I don't have time to go over all the problems, nor do I have the expertise. But the problem with that is your cell would not do that without that injection ever. So you're permanently genetically modified if you take the mutagenic agent, the experimental mutagenic biological agent. If you take that injection, you're permanently changing the way each one of your cells in your body operates. This is not a classic vaccine. People don't understand this. Now, I know you guys listening to me probably do understand this, but you would be surprised how many people think, oh, it's a vaccine. What about all the vaccines I got when I was a kid? I was fine from that. I'm going to get the shot. And you know what? If somebody that's not doing their homework, that seems perfectly legitimate, logical, and reasonable. And that's how these totalitarian a-holes are getting away with a psyop on you guys, because nobody's doing their homework and you don't realize that this is not a classic V-word vaccine. This is not that. Now, there was an interview with that Eugenio guy, the Mexican comedian and actor, interviewing Anthony Fauci, and Fauci admitted that this was an experiment, every one of you that's taken it is a damn guinea pig. It's an experimental, and it's new. It's never been used on humans before. This all came out of Fauci's mouth. So they lie about it through the media, and then they tell you the truth through these interviews. I posted the entire interview on my Facebook page. I haven't looked to see if they've taken it down or not. There are excerpts on our favorite channel we like to check up on these things on. The key expert excerpt of Fauci saying this stuff. But the key thing that I want to take away from I want you to take away from this rant is the connection between the totalitarian nature of what is going on with this mandatory, but not mandatory through the government, mandatory through the corporate, our corporate lords who run our government, and these globalist organizations like the WHO are mandating everyone take this experimental mutagenic biological agent injection. And then, of course, get the second one, too. But that's not going to be enough, because, you know, there's going to be all these different versions of the, you know, cold virus. They're calling it something else. The chimerically altered cold virus. You know, it replicates a little bit different every once in a while. So then what does that mean? You got to take it again. And again and again. They want to make sure. And the hell of it is, if you dig into what this thing does, there's at least 10 ways it can kill you. And many of those ways, who knows how long it'll take, 10, 15, 20 years before it kills you. And then by then, there's no actual way to trace it back to the cause. It's evilly evil genius is what it is. So this experimental mutagenic biological agent is worse than poison. It's a biological weapon meant to cull, C-U-L-L, the population of planet Earth. I know that sounds melodramatic. I know it's hard for those of you that trust your medical professionals to believe what it is that I'm saying. But if you do your homework and you read these people, and when I say these people, I mean the globalist organizations that are the bosses of our government, have planned this for decades. What our great President Trump did for us is he exposed the depth and the width, the breadth and the depth, all the dimensions of how much deep the deep state is, how much the system is corrupt, and how he was a real president and he was the first one since Ronald Reagan. The globalists have been running this country since, you know, parts of what Kennedy did were against the globalists, and that's the parts that got his back of his head blown off, and parts of what he did were in compliance with the globalists, because at that time, see, the globalists were fighting each other for who should be the globalist supreme. That, my friends, era is over with. The globalists all agree that their enemy is freedom, liberty, the idea of the United States of America, or nationalism, or pride in your nation because your nation achieved this or that and wants to share it with the world. See, to them, that's evil. You're supposed to think that nationalism is evil. And then they always tie that back to Nazism, which is national socialism. But as I've pointed out many times on the air over the years, nationalism is an independent political element, independent of left or right or ideology or anything. Nationalism is an independent political element. There can be left-wing nationalism, right-wing nationalism, no-wing nationalism. Nationalism means pride in country, pride in your country's achievements, and patriotism, basically. But patriotism along with pride of your nation's accomplishments and the belief that your nation on balance, on the whole, is a good nation. That is what nationalism is. And there's plenty of left-wing nations that are nationalist. There's also plenty of right-wing nations. Well, let me take that back. Point me a freaking right-wing nation of consequence on geopolitics today. In other words, you could say Costa Rica because they copied our constitution almost word for word and they actually try to live by it. But, you know, I don't see them with a great big standing army, air force, and navy ready to share their version of the world through economic prowess and the spreading of leadership, you know, freedom and that through leadership. They don't have the size. They don't have the scope to do that, but they try to do it themselves. And I bet the people of Costa Rica think they're in deep doo-doo now that the United States has went clear to hell. You know? So anyway, I get too far afield from my original topic, which is the theme that the difference between leftism and liberalism, the difference between totalitarianism and authoritarianism, because the totalitarians are not satisfied until you believe their bullshit. And that is what they've done with this reaction to the cold virus that's been chimerically modified in a Wuhan lab somewhere. Yeah, man, that's what's up. And if you don't believe that, you better do your freaking homework and quit listening to the party line of the globalists. I'm shocked. We don't have our typical trolls from Twitter tonight. It's almost a relief because it really puts me in a bad mood when we have those guys on here, because it's hard to believe that the useful idiots of the totalitarian leftist inverted fascists of 2021, the retarded, the politically retarded tools that troll this multicast. It's hard to believe, but people are really that freaking stupid. You know, but yes, yet there we are. You know, you see, 15 states now that have completely dropped the mask mandate. What that's done in areas of my formerly great state has, I've seen more and more people driving around the metro area with their masks on in their cars, more and more people exercising with 2 or 3 masks on, because the useful idiots, the disciples of the totalitarians, the leftist morons that voted for, you know, Chairman Biden, who is not long for this, for that office, I guarantee you. You know what they see? It's tragic that a few states have woke up to the fact that let's put all the BS of the reaction and the virus to the side and saying that, but the mask BS, breathing your own carbon dioxide and re-intaking the germs that you've already expelled in over and over again. Duh, isn't that good for you? Imagine that. And you know, have you seen the videos of the people with the masks on and they're vaping, and the water vapor is way bigger than any virus, and they exhale the vaping with the mask on. It goes all over the eyes, all out the side, all down, and a big cloud over their head. So that mask does a whole lot to stop that virus, doesn't it? The only thing that if you tend to spit when you speak, the mask could stop a droplet, like Fauci said originally, with some of the virus carrying the virus getting on to somebody else. If you project spittle with your speech a lot, it might stop an infection or two out of the hundreds of millions of people we have that's had the damn thing. So anyway, here's the major points one more time, and then we're going to go over some of your comments. Totalitarianism is what these inverted fascists, they're totalitarians. They're not satisfied until not only you comply, but you have to believe in what you're complying to. That's the difference between authoritarianism and totalitarianism. Realize that the fascism of today is what I would call inverted fascism, because it is the corporations and the globalist organizations, the World Bank, the WTO, all those guys, and the massive, the big media, big pharma. These are the people that control government, not the other way around, like classic fascism. That's an important difference, because you know what? Classic fascism is bad enough, but I would feel better if our government was in control of industry other than these absolute lunatics, and only a handful of them are in control of everything. I mean, there's no check on them because they control governments, not the other way around. So inverted fascism is exponentially worse than classic fascism, in my opinion. So this is the whole point of the rant tonight, because I believe it's very important for anyone who cares to educate themselves to at least take a look at this analysis. Okay, so these things, I believe, are really critical for the people that still believe in our country, the United States of America, to understand these things and be able to talk about them to people that ask you questions about, well, why wouldn't you take the virus? I mean, why wouldn't you take the mutagen into your system and know what mutagen is? Look it up and see why I'm calling what everybody else is calling a V word, which this thing is not. And don't call it genetic therapy either, because therapy implies you're doing something good to yourself. Okay. So I don't like that term either. So I don't think there's anything therapeutic about what they're doing to everybody. So explain these things to the people that might question you if you say, I'm not getting it. Arm yourselves with why. If you're not already, I mean, many of you are a whole hell of a lot smarter than I am. I get that. But if you run across this broadcast and you need a way to explain, if you're having this discussion with your loved ones, your friends, whatever, just be aware of why not to take it. And I've already covered it a lot of times. So these are the major points of the rant tonight. I hope you realize, and I apologize once again for being late, but I wasn't that late. So a lot of you got my, a lot of my regular yeah, and Deb Marie says, yes, I agree. The left that voted for B are now wishing they had not. There's many good Democrats. And what I mean by that is, you know, people that aren't up for the totalitarianism, inverted fascism that we have now, where the entire government of the United States has sold out to globalist corporate interests. Now that that's apparent to anybody that has a freaking mind to think with, left, aren't happy with their choice of Chairman Biden. So that's a good point. Let's see. Nathan wanted to remind me that we're talking about the World Economic Forum, in other words, Davos, Klaus Schwab, the progenitor of that globalist organization. Thank you for the reminder. Yes, they are in the list, the litany of total fiendish douchebags that are in control of our government now. And just as a sidebar, let me just say that it's important to realize one of the reasons everybody went after Donald J. Trump to get him out of power is because he was not part of their crew. Not only was he not part of their crew, he was smart enough to do something about what they were doing to all of us. So that did a couple of things. That caused them to attack him like ants on a Jolly Rancher out in the sun. And it also caused them to accelerate their plan to assault us, the world population, with this crap that's going on. So that may, you know, God willing, God have mercy on us, it may wake enough people up to thwart their efforts. And maybe a third or half the world population doesn't have to die from this crap that they're doing to us. Because make no mistake, they're preparing you. This was a dry run. This lockdown crap and all this emergency vaccination crap, that's just a dry run. The next thing they release on us is going to really be deadly, and you're already trained. I wish people knew how much trouble we are in. I bet you guys do, but I know many people in my circle that I've known for decades, and they're clueless. And they think I'm just an insane old man. I may be an insane old man, but I'm not wrong about any of this stuff I'm telling you about. You know? Let's see who what else we got here for your comments tonight, you guys. Deb Marie, once again, I call the China virus weapon to destroy the people. I think that is one of the points we're all making, Deb. Thank you for that. And she further says that is why they had to pull the voter fraud at all the swing states to keep T out, put B in, so China can control us. Couldn't argue with that. Well, you know, I don't know about any fact checkers, but I do know the trolls, when I hit them with logic and I reply to them and I call them out, they go away. I know that. And you know what? I ain't into this social media crap. I'm a radio guy. And I, you know, if I get a troll on the telephone, I say, goodbye, idiot. And then, and he's not on my show anymore. With this chat, it's a little harder to do that. So I have to admit, I'm quite old school when it comes to that stuff, but thank you for the advice. I have a sad one from Mike V. He said, my sister-in-law was in the medical field, was an RN in the surgery room. She had a few shots being in that field. She's dead within 1 month from pneumonia. I think that shot caused her immune system not to be able to fight off anything else. This is only in my opinion. Well, that is indeed a sad, sad testimony, Mike. And I will tell you that you are probably correct. Because what I understand this thing does to you is it makes your immune system react to any kind of, you know, this CV. And there are, you know, 60 some odd known CVs out there. And this mutagen is not smart enough to determine one CV from another CV, if you get my drift. So you catch a cold, your immune system goes bug, F. And one of the things the mutagen does, the spike protein, shuts off the second kind of cytokine that calms down the cytokine storm. The first soldiers go out there, type A, kicking ass and taking names. The second kind of cytokine comes in, calms those guys down and does mop up. Well, the spike protein kills the second kind. So you get this cytokine storm that doesn't calm down. And you end up with pneumonia. They put you on a ventilator and $53,000 later, your ass is dead. I know that's a very cynical And I combined a bunch of ideas in that statement, but you know what? That shit's going on. So I'm sorry to hear about you people that are. And then Mike says he warned them all. Well, but see, the totalitarians, Mike, have been largely successful in their mission of totalitarianism. They have not only got compliance to their PSYOP, they have people believing their compliance is the right thing to do, even if they have medical training in that field. What are you going to do? Totalitarian, these people are cunning. And they have money and power and influence and control over our media and control over our government. So, man, oh man, we're in trouble. And Mike, who's been a guest on this program, and who called me on January 6th. We all wish we could reverse this mess, Mike. So thank you guys for your comments so far tonight. We'll go back and monitor some more of them. I'm going to cover another area sticking in my craw. Once again, I was in an interesting place today, you guys. I was in a store that had nothing but Trump paraphernalia in it. Very cool. Flags, stickers, shirts, hats, you name it. And I picked me up. I don't have it with me because I was too much of a rush coming in the door, but I wanted to show it to you. It's, you know how you have those little oval stickers you put on your car window? This one says, Trump 2024, I'll be back. And I picked that one up. I don't know if he's coming back or not, but you know what? I'm tempted to put my car, up my insurance and maybe put a deductible on my car insurance before I do such a thing, you know, because we live in a world where you can't put a bumper sticker on your car if you expect it not to get vandalized. So sad. But I'm thinking about, I'd love to move to a place where the population doesn't think like that. And there are little towns like that. We don't have to be in the big metropolis where every political retard lives. Every compliance person, people that consider themselves enforcers of the Lord globalist, inverted fascist, totalitarian a-holes, then that they've got some place at the table if they tell you, you better put your mask on. Yeah. You don't have to live in that. Well, I know you got to make the money and support your family. So it's hard to move out of the danger zone. You know, I'm getting to the point where I can do in my life with much less than I used to think that I had to have. So, you know, it come a point in time where your priorities change. You know what I'm saying? And living in the big city is becoming less and less and less important at a very rapid rate due to the current events, you know? So, I don't know. As for me, I'm trying to hold on till retirement. You know, I plan on working about 5 more years. And who knows what the hell's going to happen in 5 days, let alone 5 months, let alone 5 years. But that was the original plan. And, you know, who knows? But I certainly ain't gonna stick around in a big city when I'm done working. Let's just put it that way. And if I lose my job, I just may take that retirement early because, like I said, I can do with a whole lot less than I used to think I could. I don't need that new fancy-ass car or truck or that nice Harley anymore. You know, it's nice. All that stuff's great. It's great to have stuff, but it's just stuff. And when these bastards take your freedom, stuff don't mean a hell of a lot anymore. So the Northern Command is a permanent residence is looking better and better for this old goat. I know you can't always do what you want to do in that regard. Trust me, I get it. And neither can I, really. I'm not in a position to do that. But if they force my hand, I'll go away from the big city. No problem. I won't miss it. And if there's still such a thing as an internet and it's still a way to do this, I'll still do that. But you know what? In smaller towns, there's small radio stations. It might be pretty easy to get a job, you know, commenting at a smaller local type radio studio. It's a lot easier than being in the AM market on the fifth largest AM market on planet Earth, like I was on for 5 years. You know, it's a lot easier in a small town. So anyhow, my good friends who love to share your Sunday evening with your faithful commentator here, I certainly appreciate you being there. And I certainly appreciate everything, every one of you that stop by and say hi, and the emails I get and the stuff. Even if I don't have time to answer you, I definitely appreciate them. I appreciate you people that occasionally pop in from all over the world and let me know you're there. Germany, Israel, Australia, New Zealand, South America, Canada. Thanks for being out there. I really appreciate you guys. That is the advantage of, an internet broadcast. If somebody runs across you, it doesn't matter where they are in the world. But anyway, my friends, if you have, let's see what South Dakota looks good. Yeah, no kidding. South Dakota has always looked good, even before Christy Noem. Wouldn't it be nice to not have to travel very far for Sturgis, right? Okay. Let's see what Deb's saying. CPAC attendees come out in support of President Trump ahead of today's highly anticipated speech. And she's giving you guys www.oann.com/CPAC attendees come-out. In support of President Trump ahead of today's highly accepted anticipated speech. Now, CPAC was last weekend, so I'm a little confused by that post, but you can copy and paste that if you want, you guys, out of the chat from Deb Marie. And thanks. Anybody that always puts links on there to stuff they're talking about it, man, I really appreciate that, because when you make a statement on this broadcast, and you put a source, that gives you credibility. Because there's been people that come on this broadcast and make all kinds of statements. Then they don't post the link. And then they say, I did post it. I don't quite understand that, to be honest with you. We set the clocks ahead. I thought you weren't coming on till. Ah, yes. I forgot about that. We went through the somewhat antiquated and not very useful ritual of changing the clocks. This is indeed a pain in the butt, particularly if you live in the formerly great state of Arizona where we don't change our clocks and everybody else does. So here's my, one of my relatives was making comments on my Facebook page about this. And I believe that we should all go on Zulu time. We go on a 24-hour clock. The whole world should be on Zulu time. Because then nobody's confused about anything. And, you know, you don't have to worry about changing your clocks, and you always would know what time it was, no matter where in the world that you were. Yeah, that would be a really smart thing to do. But we're not that smart. We allowed the corrupt to steal the office of the presidency of the United States. Now, this may not have been the first time that's happened, nor is it certainly the only office that's ever been stolen. And there lies the other major subject that I want to cover tonight, which we've covered before, but this is of utmost importance. Almost as much important as the first portion of the program and what we went over, the agent of death that's being passed around the planet, and we're being told it's good for us, and most people are complying and believing that's true. It's the saddest, most ridiculous thing I've ever even imagined. And you know what? I never thought that they would implement globalism successfully in this manner, because I didn't delve into my homework enough. There's a movie out called Endgame, which was produced 14 years ago, that has these very scenario laid out step by step. Was he a prophet? No. They tell us what they're going to do to us before they do it. And if you tell anybody about it, everybody says you're a nut job and a conspiracy theorist. It's not a theory anymore when it's happening, is it? It might be a conspiracy against us, the normal people of the world, but it is no theory. It is a conspiracy against us. And they told us they were going to do it to us before they did it. Now, granted, when they write these papers about their plans, they're not talking to us directly. They're talking to each other and bragging about their diabolical plans and trying to do the one-upmanship thing with each other. No, we'll do this too. Oh, yeah. And if you read it and try to warn people about this craziness, then you're supposed to be the crazy one, right? That's how that works. Just like this deadly reaction to this mutagen that they're stuffing in everybody's bodies, changing your cells. It's so evil and so genius, because a lot of the effects won't be the negative. When your liver melts 10 years later, they're not going to really know what was from that. They're going to say it was, well, you had some autoimmune reaction, and, you know, sorry about that, Charlie, you're gone. Meanwhile, it was because you altered your own bioorganism with a mutagen. You put it in there thinking that scary cold thing that's going around the little blue ball, I better pump that experimental mutagen in to counteract that. After all, I can't have a cold. Oh, I'm pissing people off that say, my relatives died from this. Yeah, really? Do you really know that they didn't have some other kind of respiratory illness and that they got killed by the ventilator? How do you really know? You trust your medical professional to tell you the 100% truth, right? Well, I've had medical professionals in my family that, let's just say, this is an individual that didn't live her life on the straight and narrow. So she was put in the bowels of the medical profession because they had dirt on her. So they could get her to do the dirty work. They're dirty. She's not going to complain because she still has a job, even though there's dirt on her. You see how that works? Yeah, that is like that in the medical profession as well. Not just politics, not just all the other professions that use extortion and these kinds of things to manipulate people. But my point is, this family member, before she died of her own foibles, we'll say, tried to warn us by saying, you would not believe what goes on in medical facilities if I told you. Just stay out of them, she said. Now, this person was a registered nurse for 20 years. Now, I'm not trying to condemn all medical professionals by any stretch of the imagination. Just be aware that that element that I just described to you in personal detail is alive and well in the medical profession. And it is that element being exploited to perpetrate this horrendous fraud on the entire planet. And there's many medical professionals that have stepped up and said as much, and they are deplatformed, they are demonized, they are fired, they are deplatformed, they are doxxed, they are attacked by leftists. All of the above. So, I don't know how I got off of my other track that I was trying to go down to, but I went back on that track. Let's go on the other track. Where I was going with the other thing, let me look at some of your comments real quick. Deb Marie has been, are your fingers bleeding from the typing, Deb? but let's put these up here. Oh, that one we already did. This one. Must watch Dan Scavino dropping hints every day. Twitter, Dan Scavino/status, and a bunch of numbers. Oh, my. If you guys, I'm not going to go through that link, but there it is on the screen. If you want to screenshot it. And also, if you have access to the chat, you can cut and paste from the chat Deb Marie's post there. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about earlier what I said. I went into a Trump shop. As you know, I've pointed out to you, I believe that President Trump made two grave mistakes out of the many mistakes he made. He was still an 80% right on the mark president. And Ronald Reagan's rate was about half of that, 40%. He missed it. Ronald Reagan missed about 60% of what he should have done. Still, the 40% was far and above most presidents ever. You know, He did a lot of great things in his, and he was very well loved, and he was a real president. And, you know, everybody knows the part of Dwight D. Eisenhower's speech where he warns of the military-industrial complex, but the sentence before that warns you of the technocratic fascist corporate takeover of the country on the technical side. It was a two-fold warning system that the real president, Dwight D. Eisenhower, was trying to warn the world about, not just the military-industrial complex, the neocons, and the a-holes that always want the war machine to be killing people all over the planet, you know, for, you know, to spread democracy. But also, the technocrats will take over the government. And that's what we have. We have a bunch of academia a-holes advising our government that you should follow the corporate takeover. And that's what's happened. We've been corporately taken over by big pharma, by big media, by big tech, and various other globalist-oriented enterprises. That's who rules the world. And Dwight D. Eisenhower saw that in 1960. So these are important things to know. Deb Murray posts, howdy friends, statement by Donald J. Trump. The reason I'm reading this, because we have Podbean live listeners as well, Deb. So I'm going to read what you have so far. Howdy, friends. Statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America. I fully support the Republican Party and important GOP committees, but I do not support rhinos and fools. And it is not their right to use my likeness or image to raise funds. So much money is being raised and completely wasted by people that do not have the GOP's best interest in mind. If you donate to our Save America PAC, HT Save America PAC, and then, you know, she has the shortcut there to it, you are helping the America First movement. And she ran out of room. So there you go. Save America PAC is where you put your money, not the GOP. Now, some of you may have decent local GOPs that your money may be effective, but the national GOP, they don't get a freaking dime. And I gave them hundreds of dollars all through the president, Trump's term. I'm not giving them a freaking penny ever again. I'm done with the national GOP until every single candidate is a real America Firster, a genuine person like Kristi Noem or like the lady from Alabama, who I can't think of her name right now because I'm a little road rough right now. You know, the one from Colorado, that one's, you know. You know, there are good Republicans, but most of them are not good. Most of them are pieces of shit. A large percent of the ones that are not good belong in prison. Which leads me to the other branch of major discussion of this broadcast tonight, which I was heading to several times and cut myself off at the pass. The 2024 election may not include a Donald Trump ticket. You do realize this. I've said before, I have nothing but respect, adoration, reverence, and love for Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States. And if he runs in 2024, I will do everything in my power to promote the election of Donald J. Trump for president once again. He will be elderly. He will be 78 years old. He may be as vibrant as he ever was. I don't know. These things are impossible to predict. He may not want to subject him and his family to that horrific persecution on every level imaginable. He may not want to do that again. And could you blame him? The estimates are that it cost him between $2 and $4 billion to be president for the last 4 years. It cost him countless business relationships. It cost him his freedom because now he is forever going to have to be protected. So, given that, would you blame Donald Trump if he didn't run again? I surely would not. And so just prepare yourself. I know you guys love Trump as president, not because he was perfect, but because he cared about doing a good job and he wasn't part of the evil bastards that are in control now. And we loved him for that. No president has ever been loved as much as Donald Trump, except maybe George Washington. And I don't know because I wasn't alive then, and the history only gives you a certain limited context to the overwhelming love one might have had or a society might have had for a United States president. But it's my perception of such things with the studying that I've done that the only one that might have come close, and I doubt it, is George Washington himself may have been as revered as Donald J. Trump. But when you have New York State automobile parades of 90 miles long, you have boat parades anywhere there's a body of water, you have massive, massive, massive gatherings everywhere he showed up. And even if he wasn't showing up, people were gathering there to be in concert with the big gathering. Nothing like that's ever happened before. I guarantee you that. This country loves Donald Trump. The world loves Donald Trump. The world is in shock and is heartsick over what has happened in the United States of America. The Stalinist credo has been adhered to. It's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes. And everyone knows it. And we're heartsick over that. But we've had to move on from that because there's no guarantee Donald Trump will run again in 2024. Now, he may, and I support him, and I'm sure that you will as well. There are people that are blaming Trump. I heard a guy the other day on a national program say that Trump is part of the globalists. He played all of you for suckers, and his vaccination program proves that. And he's still out there pushing the vaccine to protect his legacy. And that shows you that he's a dirty double dealing guy, because the vaccine's so evil that if you take it, that, Trump intends to kill us all, and he's an agent of the globalists. That's what this guy believes. I don't know how many of us has gone down that road. I certainly have not gone down that road. But I do believe that his dealing with the bioweapon, the binary bioweapon, is in error, and he made a miscalculation at, let's be charitable, and he just screwed the pooch, not being so charitable on that subject, okay? And the other thing was not going after big tech, who censors his side only. Those are the two biggies. There was others. He put a lot of crooked people in his inner circle who lied, cheated, stabbed him in the back, and they did it repeated times. But he could have survived all of that. If he would have done one of those other two things differently, he'd be sitting in the White House right now. Is that the best thing? I don't know. Only God knows. So Trump is not perfect, but we love him because he loved us. And he's wasn't afraid to show it with his actions. Now, this is a big thing. Talk is cheap, but when you actually put your life on the line, when you actually put your fortune on the line, when you actually put your family in danger because you stand for something, people are going to love you for that. And, you know, he's but a man. Okay, Donald J. Trump is but a man. He's a brilliant businessman. He lost billions being a president. And every semblance of a normal life of what Donald J. Trump knew for 71 years or whatever it was is gone forever. He gave all that up. Either knowingly or unwillingly for what he tried to do for us in this country. And I, for one, will forever be eternally grateful to our real president, the one who was elected a second time. So when I sit, but that doesn't make me a sycophant. I pound the shit out of Trump when I think he did something wrong. And you guys know that's true. I'm not sycophantic about my support of Trump, but if he runs again, by God, I'll be behind him. And so would God, I think, but who the hell am I to speak for God? Okay, so I have no idea. So anyway, you guys, the point is, whether or not Trump runs in 24, what our emergency is right now, and I mean right now today, is your local Republican Party, your local offices. These are the people that have control of counting the votes. This is priority one. If we do not take control of the election process and make it sensible and fair and correct, every word that I've said in my life, publicly and privately, about any politics is not going to make a hill of beans difference, because not only do the Democrats cheat with the current election system and have been doing it for decades, but also so do the Republicans. And this is why they do not do anything about it, is because the Republicans' primary use of the cheating system is in the primary election. Anytime we bring forth a patriot that is not part of the establishment Republican Party, they use the election counting system to make sure that person does not get on the ticket, which leaves you and I with a choice between a frickin' rat that calls himself a Democrat and an establishment Republican, in my view, worse, because they are despicable. They are liars. They are phony. They say, I'll go to Washington and fight for you, knowing meanwhile that they will have no power to do so. And they're perfectly happy with that. They're subservient to their Democrat lords. The Republican establishment is more despicable than the Democrats, even the modern totalitarian inverted fascist Democrats. So, my good friends, if we do not address the big gorilla in the room, the vote counting system, the election system in all of the several states, and if we do not do something like Florida did after 2000 and fix their system, nobody's arguing over who won elections in Florida. Why? Because they clean their shit up. It ain't perfect, but it's far better than most any other state. And they do mail-in balloting, voting. If I were king, here's what we do. There'd be election day, not election 2 months. Midnight on election day, vote counting stops. Period. End of discussion. No exceptions for any frickin' reason. Election day would be 24 hours. Midnight to midnight. 24 hours. You do what it takes to count all the valid votes in that 24-hour period, whether it be mail-ins, whether they be absentee. And the only ones that get to mail-in ballots are people that are provably not able to physically show up at the polls or in the United States military. Everybody else has to care enough to show up at the polls. And we better have enough people in each precinct to handle the volume and the vote counting. There would be paper ballots. There would be voter ID. You would purge the voting rolls from all jurisdictions every 2 years. You have to re-register to vote. That eliminates the dead vote. You know, the old joke. I was so mad at my grandpa and grandma. You know, when they found out they voted Democrat, even though they died 20 years ago, you know the joke. Anyhow, so you'd have election day, you'd have paper ballots, you'd have in-person voting, you'd have enough people to count the votes by hand, no friggin' voting machines. Your votes would be counted by hand. There would be representatives from all concerned parties watching all vote counting at all times, no exceptions, no pizza boxes over the thing, not closing it down for a leaky toilet and then getting the ballot boxes out from under the table. None of this shenanigans. If I were king, I'm not. So we're going to be screwed again is what's going to happen, people, because nobody's on this. Not in the volume we need. There are a few people that are addressing these things. There are some genuine efforts towards cleaning up the vote counting system. But there are not enough people engaged in your local politics to make it happen. Otherwise, the United States Senate wouldn't have been stolen by the corrupt machine in Georgia. You had 3 months. I mean, is it really that hard to clean crap up? Yeah, when you're compromised and all your elected officials are compromised. And we didn't do anything to change that, you guys. All Republicans are going. I even heard Bill Cunningham tonight on the radio, the great American, say that none of us people should have been at the Capitol on January 6th. So when you have huge talk radio figures spewing such nonsense as what Bill Cunningham, the great American, said that none of us should have been at the Capitol on the 6th. No, Bill. The couple hundred idiots that went inside the Capitol should have not done that. And the agent provocateurs that did all the damage, they shouldn't have done that. But that wasn't us. We were out on the lawn singing God Bless America and passing a massive flag that took 100 people to hold in the air through the crowd. That's what we were there for, to bolster the spine of the asshole Republicans in order to do the right thing, which is a big backfire, and the left was smarter than us, and they used our own event against us. And we learned from that, and we're not going to allow that to ever happen again. So we stand down from public engagement and public protest. Because that is a wholly owned operation by the left and the media and the Republicans who support the left's spewing of a false concept about when we gather. And nothing ticked me off more than Bill Cunningham on the radio today say that we should not have been there on January 6th. The absolute ignorance of a man that is supposedly on our side to say something like that is inexplicable. I have no explanation for that. But it made me very angry, I can tell you that. And I'll tell you what else it did. It showed me that we will not have what it takes to fix this voting system. And we are going to continue to suffer from criminals being put in office and they are criminally violating each and every one of our constitutional rights. And that's going to continue. And they're going to push and push and push until patriots have no choice but to open the third box. And you know what box that is? That is the goal, because that's how they can defeat us. That is how we go down. Because they have control of the United States military. The globalist cabal of corporations are in control of our government, which controls our military. And those people are not into revolution. They're into obeying orders of their superiors. And their superiors are wholly owned subsidiaries of all the litany of garbage that I just listed. So we are screwed. And I never knew we were screwed, because I thought the United States military is going to stand up. They'll stand up and fight on behalf of the globalists in other countries, and they'll do it with honor and distinction. But when it comes up for when it comes to standing up for us as Americans and the rule of law and free and fair elections, I have to obey orders, they say. I don't understand why. I always thought a whole lot more of the United States military than that. I guess that reverence was misplaced, or at least apparently so at this point. Again, these people are a product, because most of them are young people, of an educational system that was taken over long ago by communist, Marxist, totalitarian, leftist, inverted fascists. They control the professors. They control these institutions of indoctrination called universities and high schools and whatnot. So these young people who are now in the United States military grow up not being taught proper thing. They don't even know civics. They probably don't even know they're in violation of their constitutional duty to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The United States military, by and large, I would say 70% of them don't even know that they're in violation of their own constitutional oath. But the ones that do are the ones that are senior and are bought off and paid for. And there's good people in the military that don't know what the hell to do with it, because who the hell's going to step up first and get their head cut off? That's the whole problem we have. That's why when David Icke tells us we have the power, we have the power of no, it's a great concept. And he's right about that. But who goes first? Because whoever goes first is going to get squashed. Nobody wants to go first. That's like, if we decide to bring this government to its knees, we could all not pay taxes for a month. But whose goes first? Because the assholes are going to come over and lock the first one up. Nobody wants to go first. It's the same thing in the military. It's the same thing with the power of no, the concept by the great David Icke. He's right about that. We have the power, but nobody's going to use it. Just like I've been ranting and raving, ranting for years and years and years and years and years. We have the power to get rid of 468 assholes out of Washington, D.C. every 2 years. We have the power to get rid of 468 people in Congress. What do? We reelect 92 to 95% of the incumbent jerks that keep doing the same crap to us every time. And you know what? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, isn't that the definition of insanity? So that makes the American electorate insane. We get the government we deserve, folks. So when we when we complain about the, you know, the Alzheimer patient that can't be let to comment in public without a teleprompter, or it must be shut down. A guy that wakes up and admits, he asks his wife, where are we? A guy admits that he's not in control of things. Nancy Pelosi, Susan Wright, Rice. These kinds of people are who are being run by the corporatist state of the world that are in control of a government. Biden doesn't even know what his own name is half the time. But we get the government we deserve because we have not held these dirty, stinking pieces of filth to account for their crimes. 92% of these people in Congress get reelected every 2 years. Look at Mitch McConnell. Do we just put that asshole back in? Susan Murkowski, she's back in there. We had John McCain not died, he would elect his ass again for a seventh time here in Arizona. We're certainly not exempt from being political morons. We get the government we deserve. If they're not willing to get engaged on the level it takes to take it back for the people, guess what? They're going to keep it. Hate to say it. I'm just telling you the truth. So, with that happy note, I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday night. I know one thing. I ain't giving up. I don't care. To my last breath, I am going to try to make things better. I am going to do my best to talk to people and get them to, try to get people to be aware of these things at the very least and perhaps get off their ass in the primaries and go vote. We need 90% turnout in the primary. We usually get, well, we got 35 last time. That's not enough to change things, my good friends. Thank you all for your comments tonight. Thank you for giving a crap enough to hang out with me on this fine Sunday night. Thanks for being there all this time, for all these years, you guys. I cherish your listenership, and I'll do my best to bring prescient points to you as long as I'm allowed to. So I hope God continues to bless you and your family. I hope he sees that we are repentant in this country. I hope God continues to bless us and allows us to take our country back from the criminals. But we're going to have to get off our ass, folks. It's me included. So I love you. I'll see you next week, God willing. Be well. Take care.